The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We sang about it in the office hymn this morning. St. Luke records that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Luke recounts the amazing message Gabriel spoke. He told Mary that by the power of the Holy Spirit she would conceive a son who would be the Son of God. Mary's response to Gabriel's message was simple and filled with faith. She said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. As Elizabeth was inspired to put it just a few days later, Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed indeed is the one who hears the word of God and through faith clings to it. Our text this morning presents another example of faith in God's word. As we know from Luke's gospel, shortly after Gabriel departed from Mary, Mary had gone to the hill country of Judah, to Elizabeth and Zechariah's home. She stayed with them for about 3 months and then returned to Nazareth. I imagine it wasn't long after that the events of our text occurred. As Matthew summarizes, when Jesus' mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Matthew adds there, from the Holy Spirit. But Joseph couldn't have been certain of that, at least not yet. Precisely what Mary told him, we don't know. She may have repeated everything Gabriel had said. But whether Joseph was to believe it or not, he still had a dilemma. From the time Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and bore Cain, there had never been an exception. There had been special births, Isaac and Samuel, for instance. But throughout history, every single child had had a human father. Knowing this, it would have been reasonable for Joseph to conclude that whatever she may have said, Mary had been unfaithful to him. If Mary had told him everything Gabriel said, and Joseph believed her, something a number of commentators in the early church suggest, well, Joseph still had a problem. If the child in Mary's womb was from the Holy Spirit, then in a sense, at least, she was the bride of the Lord. How could Joseph go through with marrying a woman God had chosen to be the mother of his son? Because he was a just man, who feared God and did not wish to subject Mary to public disgrace, Joseph resolved to divorce her quietly. That was the only way you could end a betrothal, by divorce. Joseph couldn't see that he had any other choice. God's word was clear. If Mary had been unfaithful, if she had committed adultery, he couldn't go through with the marriage. It was forbidden by God. On the other hand, if the child Mary was carrying was from the Holy Spirit, how could he live in the same house with God? For Joseph to step back from Mary would be something like Moses taking off his shoes at the burning bush. You don't just presume to come into the presence of the Lord of hosts. Before Joseph acted on his decision, however, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The first words of the angel resolve Joseph's dilemma. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. The Lord's messenger tells Joseph explicitly that he belongs in the picture. He is not sinning and has nothing to fear in taking Mary as his wife. He will be the guardian, the legal father of Mary's son. Surely this message brought great peace to Joseph. He didn't need to wonder any longer what he should do. The marriage was God-pleasing. The Lord's angel also confirmed the origin of Mary's child. "The one begotten in her is from the Holy Spirit," the angel explained. But he did more than that. The angel also spoke of the role that her son would fill, the work that he would accomplish. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." His name and his purpose go together. His identity and his work go hand in hand. This special child is the long-awaited Messiah, the seed of Abraham, the Savior the Lord promised to Adam and Eve after they had sinned. The very name he would bear explains the reason for his coming. He is Jesus, God saving his people from sin, from their own sins. This isn't good news only for Joseph. These words of the Lord's messenger are for all people of all time. The virgin's child is Jesus, the Son of God, come in human flesh to take our place, to take your place under the requirements of God's law. Jesus saved you by living a perfect life where you have failed again and again. And then by suffering the punishment your sin, your disobedience, and even open rebellion against God's law has earned. Mary's son truly is Jesus, God in love, saving you from your sin, taking your place so that in the end you can have a place with God. That's the reason Jesus came, in order to save you. That's it from the angel, apparently. But Matthew tells us that what the angel announced was a fulfillment of the sign God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. The Virgin Mary conceiving and bearing a son who is God in our flesh. This is something that the Lord had promised centuries earlier. Matthew wants us to understand that in this child, God is tying everything together. This is he whom seers in old time chanted of with one accord, whom the voices of the prophets promised in their faithful word. The little boy growing in Mary's womb was the long-expected Savior, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, the son of Abraham in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, the offspring of David, who would sit on his throne forever, the servant of the Lord, who would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, who would be crushed for and bear the iniquity of us all. In this child, the son of Mary, God himself was coming into the world to fulfill his promises. He was coming to redeem sinners by his own life and death, to win for them forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. Mary had responded to the angel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Not a single word is recorded from Joseph, not to the angel, nor to anyone else. But in what Joseph did in response to the angel's message, we see faith like that which Mary revealed in her words. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He called his name Jesus. God with us to save us from our sins. And he is with us still today in his word, by his very body and blood, with us, saving us from our sins. That's why he came and why he still comes, to forgive you, to declare you righteous, to wash you from your sin, to clothe you in the robes of his holiness, to cleanse you again by his blood, to strengthen your faith in him, and to preserve you in that faith until his final coming. Jesus, in his name, you have pardon and peace. He has redeemed you, purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. And he did it all so that you could be his own and live under him in his kingdom in heaven, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He came for you, to save you. He is Jesus, your Savior from sin. Believe it. It's true. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.